This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Dave and Buster's on Richmond, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The Astros are in Seattle. The last 2 months, nobody in the American League is better than the Astros.
And if
with
I said
215 from Gattis and 202 from Gomez and 213 or whatever from Castro.
And if I said, Adam, are the Astros a good hitting team? Your answer would be
no.
If I said, do you think they have good starting pitching?
No.
I looked at the team last year, and you could have said the same thing.
Exactly.
I mean, it was mind-blowing that they were winning games.
And a lot of people bash the ESPYs and the self-promotion, and it, look at me. Essentially, while they are doing all of those things, and it's a huge showcase for look at us, it's also a massive vehicle for generating huge donations.
I don't know how many times they try to make you cry last night. They're going to try to make you feel bad. They're going to try to bring tears. I don't have time for that. I also have no need for them to tell me who the best female athlete is. I don't care about any of that.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
A.J. doesn't need any of that because he already knows
who
the best female athlete is.
That's right. You can't convince me otherwise.
Adam Wexler here with you. We're over at Dave & Buster's. I'm in for Fred Fowler. A.J. Hoffman here awaiting the beginning of shuffle up deal time here. A little poker. Never hurt anybody.
You know, a year ago I used to make the argument that Ronda Rousey was a more dominant female athlete than Serena Williams.
Totally reasonable argument to me.
A lot of people disagreed with me, but I said, like, no one beats Ronda Rousey. She's gone through and just destroyed everybody she's ever fought. Now she lost, though, and now it's hard to argue against Serena.
I mean,
Serena's the best.
I mean,
at the time when Ronda was undefeated and she was beating everybody in 2 minutes, and, you know, she was making the second-best woman fighter look like a hobo.
Did you believe in the quality of her opponents? Like, the second-best woman fighter, did you feel she was a talented opponent?
Yeah. I think, like, Misha Tate's a good fighter.
Because without that, then the argument loses. Like, there's nobody out there. It lessens what she's got.
But, and again, this isn't the argument for most accomplished or best female athlete, but most dominant.
Right, right.
To me, sort of means how far apart are you from the field? And that's to me domination is when you're far away from the field. That's domination. And Ronda Rousey was dominant because Misha Tate was the second best fighter and she beat her three different
and
times.
She wasn't piling up wins by I hope they raise my hand here at the end and I can get the decision.
No.
That'd be nice.
There was no judges deciding if Ronda Rousey won or not. She was letting them know.
I'd mentioned a few minutes back about a couple of NBA deals that went down today involving a pair of Texas players, one staying, one going, both contract amounts, one-year deals, and the contract amounts were little head-scratchers to me. We'll start with the Rockets. Ex-Rocket now, Terrence Jones, has a new home.
Finally.
He's not going too far. New Orleans has decided to sign him. They gave him a one-year deal. How much do you think he got?
$4 million.
Got a slightly less. He got the veterans minimum. So the least amount he could get at this stage and age is what he got and signed. And there was a report he had a little bit more offered elsewhere, but this is what he went with. So not much of a market for Terrence Jones. It's not too surprising. But again, the amount of money that's being thrown around for players with virtually no talent getting paid like crazy because of the spike in the cap, that jumped out at me. Again, it's not even the figure. Just to hear them say, Terrence Jones, a young and potentially helpful player, never panned out here.
I mean,
he's getting the veteran minimum.
That's like 1.5 or something, right?
I mean, again, yeah, it depends on where you are in your career. But, yeah, it was shocking almost. But not as shocking as the figure that Manu Ginobili got to stay at age 39 soon. He turns 39 this month to stay in San Antonio. How much did it cost the Spurs to bring a guy back that seemed almost obviously coming back to the Spurs? If he's going to play again, he's going to play for the Spurs. So how much did they have to give him to stay?
My guess is that he would have taken a team-friendly deal somewhere around, I'd say, $7.5 million.
Okay, double that, $14 million. And so that one blew me away. And then I read this story from Woj that says, the Sixers offered Ginobili an exorbitant amount of money, which forced the Spurs to basically triple their offer.
Dude, I got to be honest. If I'm the Spurs, if I'm R.C. Buford, and you're Manu Ginobili's agent, and you come to me and say, hey, we got an offer from the Sixers, I say, you know what, buddy? Good luck. And I don't even let him back in the door after he says that. As soon as you mention the Sixers offered, I say, good luck with your career. And don't open the door again. Because they're going to be outside knocking like, we don't want to take it. We're just kidding. We'll do anything.
Yes, the whole story seems odd. Because why would Ginobili do that? Because that's the reaction I would expect the Spurs to have, which apparently wasn't the reaction they had. And because they've gotten to this point in the offseason, the amount of money they gave Ginobili probably just basically didn't matter. It wasn't preventing them from making any other moves. It wasn't costing them so much money that, I mean, clearly you spend more when you pay them 14 versus 5, and it pushes you closer to this or whatever, however your cap stands and certain penalty, whatever the case may be. But I just don't think it was of any concern to the Spurs, because this is a player who's okay. He's not a difference maker in any way for San Antonio.
No.
He's still a good enough player to be in the rotation, and that sounds like a huge knock, and it really is. The Spurs next year have Aldridge, and they have Leonard. And
Danny Green. Danny Green's a damn good player, too, by the way.
I'm on the fence with Danny Green.
Okay.
Because there's too many nights where I'm like, holy cow, this guy's awful. And yet, he is a good defensive player on the perimeter. And most other nights, he's not just a good three-point shooter. He's an excellent three-point shooter. And all they lost, really, was Tim Duncan.
And replaced him with Pau Gasol.
So, I'm not sure where they fit. But the most interesting thing to come out today in the NBA was Andre Iguodala doing a radio interview saying flat out and convincingly the best team in the NBA this year was the Thunder.
The best team in the playoffs.
The best team in the playoffs was the Thunder. He said, they had us. There were things which we knew we couldn't stop them. And basically when asked, well, how'd you beat him? He didn't really know. He said, we finally got it and got it going and got past him. He said they had our number. They were the best team in the playoffs this year. Basically, the Thunder should have won.
Well, usually, and listen, I've got limited experience in this. Usually in a playoff situation, particularly a playoffs like the NBA where everything's best of seven, usually the best team in the playoffs, they win a trophy at the end. And the Thunder won no trophy at the end.
He did acknowledge the obvious. Had the Thunder beaten the Warriors, they would have then beaten the Cavaliers, which I still believe, because I still can't believe the Warriors lost to the Cavaliers.
Oh, I can believe that. I believe the Cavs were sort of a team of destiny, and I believe it was going to be difficult to deny LeBron James again. I would have definitely picked the Cavs over the Thunder.
What do the LeBron haters have to hold on to?
There should be nothing.
From this year, from the latest, is there anything?
Well, when you compare him to, like, because inevitably, eventually, he will be compared to Michael Jordan. And LeBron hater will say, LeBron lost in the NBA Finals multiple times. Michael Jordan
five
never did.
Five times.
And to which I'd say, it's sort of like the argument for John Elway. You know, if you get there and you lose, it's not necessarily the worst thing. I'd rather go 2-1 in Super Bowls than 2-0 because I got to a third Super Bowl, and that's a pretty good accomplishment. That's why I'd rather be Jim Kelly than Dan Marino, because Jim Kelly at least got to some Super Bowls.
Yeah, and I think sadly the thing that people might cling on to, and you kind of put it out there when you said team of destiny, LeBron wasn't going to be denied. That's how he played this finals. He clearly had more help. He got an unbelievable effort from Kyrie Irving. And the group of players they had was a perfect makeup to make it hard for the Warriors to do what they wanted. But that's the LeBron that people think, had that LeBron played in every finals he's been in, other than the first one against the Spurs when he was with those Cavs,
yeah,
then he probably would have one or two or no finals losses. That's how good he was, even this far into his career. That should be the positive you take out of it. And I still think people will turn it around and say, well, why didn't he always come to the finals like that?
The thing LeBron did in this finals was, when they were down 3-1, LeBron's game is, and the brilliance of LeBron James is, he makes everybody on that floor better. He makes all his teammates better all the time. He's like an anti-Harden in that way.
Wow.
But I just wanted to see how you reacted to
Beardy.
That.
Getting heat.
But he makes everyone better. And in that instance, he kind of said, you know what? It looks like I'm going to have to do this. And he basically took everything onto his back and played against the Warriors, who were on pace to be the best team in the history of basketball, and he beat them. That's what makes this performance even better. Jordan never beat a team in the finals that people thought was the best team ever. You know, he just didn't. And, you know, people say, well, LeBron had to get Kyrie and Kevin Love. And, yeah, well, Jordan didn't play with a bunch of scrubs either. He had a couple Hall of Famers in there with him. He was on a pretty stacked team.
Yes, an all-time best 50 in NBA history has one of his teammates on it. That sounds like a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Debatable or not if he belonged, but he's on the list.
Dennis Rodman was on those teams.
Yep.
Dennis Rodman's a Hall of Famer. I mean, that's...
Well, Kevin Durant has zero titles.
None.
And he's playing with a guy who's on a similar career path towards the Hall of Fame. And they have zero titles.
Yeah.
So it should be okay to play with other good players. It's that hard to win one. It's okay to have a teammate that's capable.
Not only
that. We saw
what
it was like with LeBron when he didn't have teammates capable. It was the year before, and they were either hurt or no good, and they got clobbered.
Not only did Kevin Durant not win one, I think he realized that he wasn't going to win one. Like, it just wasn't going to happen with that crew.
Gosh, why did he think that, though?
Because they've done it for 9 years, and nothing's changed.
Yes, but this team was that close, and a previous team had been to the finals. Injuries are what sidetracked them, nothing else.
Well,
and then obviously the Harden trade. You know,
yeah, they got to the finals, and then they traded away their third piece because they didn't think they could sign him. Even though they could have afforded to sign him, they didn't.
Yeah.
And then they get to that level, or close to that level again, and then they get rid of the third best player on the team again. And I think this time he kind of realized Russell Westbrook is not planning on staying after next year. He wants to get a head start.
That could be to it. And he was on the second, in my opinion, again, the Cavs won the title, but going through the season and watching all that, second best team in the league, that's the Thunder. They had the second best chance to win the title, I thought, as it was unfolding. Well, there's only one other team better, and now he plays for them.
Yep.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah. We have skipped out on the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. We will do that next. Live from Dave and Buster's. You still got some time to get down here for the Blitz Poker Classic, which will be played today. It's the last chance to qualify. We'll shuffle up and deal at 7:15. The top 25 will advance to next week's finale, and the winner of that tournament will receive a 55-inch television and $500 in U.S. American cash. And you can buy whatever you want with it. If you want to buy illegal items with it, it's none of my business. So if you want to play, come on down. We'll take registration. And I think you can even register after the tournament started. If you run late, you'll be on a waiting list, but you can get in and have a chance to win. All right, we'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Dave & Buster's on Richmond, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Adam Wexler here with you, and hopefully many of you will be with us out here at Dave & Buster's shortly. I'm in for Fred Fowler. A.J. Hoffman here is always on the Blitz at Degenerates 97.5, the Blitz Twitter, and of course right there on Facebook. The Blitz is there for you as well. Good stuff. You can catch up with A.J. at A.J. is the real. At A. Wexler KPRC is where you find me on Twitter. Does Rob Dibble get into the conversation, or did
we talked a little bit about it yesterday. I've never I don't believe Jose Altuve is using steroids. I wouldn't accuse him of it. But if for some reason he failed a drug test tomorrow, my shocked level would be at a zero. That's also the same for every Major League Baseball player not named Ichiro or Bartolo Colon. Those would register at about... I'd say Ichiro would register at about a 6. Bartolo would register at about an 8 if they failed a PED test.
Mike Trout.
No, not at all.
Manny Machado.
No.
Same thing.
Carlos Correa. No.
Right. It's just where we are and what guys
can
do.
Ken Giles.
Like, for instance, Manny Machado, widely considered one of the handful best players in the league, and the numbers certainly are right there. So in 2013, full season of baseball, he hit 14 homers, 71 RBIs, slugging about .432. 3 years later, this season, he's already has 19 homers, had 35 last year, but the slugging numbers are way up, and the OPS is through the roof now, 200 points higher than he was 3 seasons ago, from ages 20 then to 23 now. So Rob Dibble decides to go after Jose Altuve, who 3 seasons ago was a five-homer, 52 RBI guy, so his slugging was about .360, and now he has comparable jumps in his numbers. He's already got 14 homers, pace of about 24. He's hitting .341, which potentially gives him his second batting title, and his OPS and slugging is through the roof. 3 years for him go from age 23 to 26. To me, there's no real difference. And the identical parts of each of them are, these are their developmental years. They just got into the league. They're doing things differently in an off season. They're doing things within the season. You know, Altuve, some of the other parts of Altuve's jump up, maybe I don't want to sound Houston-y here, but I think some of it has to do with who the team is, who's on the team, who else is in the lineup every day. Because remember, Jose Altuve's first couple of years were spent with a disaster of a baseball club with zero talent around him. He wasn't getting good pitches to hit. He still managed to pile up the hits and do things for himself. But on a better team that's winning with better players around him in better situations, also batting third now in front of Correa for much of this season, I think that all lends to it, plus the idea that he's been hitting line drives since he was in the minors. That's all he does. That's all he does now. He's just hitting them. He's just getting better pitches to hit. He's getting more selective with what he's doing, and he's having more success.
I guess I would also say it's easier for people to accept Machado's power growth because he's 6 foot three.
Yeah. He looks like Correa, physically speaking.
Yeah, he looks like a guy who should hit home runs. Jose Altuve doesn't look like a home run hitter.
But he's going to hit 20-some-odd homers a year after he hits 15.
Yeah.
2 years ago, he hit 7.
Right.
Is that the issue? He went from 7 to 20-something? Is that really that unheard of? I know what he looked like then versus now, and he's clearly bigger. But almost all non-pitchers who just get fat as they play in majors, as I stereotype.
Right.
But most everyday players do more in the weight room, do more to get better. And, yes, totally believable from a non-accusatory standpoint. Yeah, they could be using something. They're getting bigger. That's one way to do it with all the other work you put in. Yes, it would be believable, but I think you also consider the source. I know they spoke about different things in different ways, but Rob Dibble, John Rocker, they open their mouth. I don't care. It's so meaningless. But the difference is Dibble has been paid for years to have his voice heard, whether it was an in-game broadcaster for a team or as a radio host, and the guy just spews nonstop nonsense. And I'm not even saying this couldn't end up being right, but the premise for it and everything else, and then him as a ball player. Because remember, this is back when the Reds and Astros were foes. So yes, as you asked earlier, are you a fan? Yeah, well, yeah, when I was growing up, I was a fan. So, of course, I hated Rob Dibble. But, this stuff is just nonsense. And he's good on Twitter, though, dropping meathead and troll on people and blocking people. It was fun to watch. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah. Did you get blocked by Brian Cushing?
That's a thing, isn't it?
I guess so.
I don't believe so.
I don't think I did either.
So, if I right now tweeted at him, and it would notify me if I was, right?
It would tell you.
Oh,
if you just click on his profile, it'll let you know. And I click on it, and I can see everything. I see Brian there.
So you're in good standing?
I'm in good standing, apparently.
Good for you. Yeah. No, I don't. I probably have been blocked by someone along the way, but probably not very often.
I don't follow Brian.
I do.
But I also I don't think I've ever said anything bad about Brian Cushing. He's actually, if I were to make a list of my favorite Houston athletes, he's probably pretty high on the list. I like Brian Cushing more than I like some of these other guys. I like his act. He's all right to me. You are blocked, I think.
No, I was looking at something. I was looking at Trump, apparently, is postponing his announcement in light of what has happened in France.
CNN said earlier that it was going to be Pence, but apparently he's waiting to announce. So We'll see. We'll see if that is the case. Again, I forgot to do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. Please remind me.
That's on me. You know that.
Yeah.
You're a pro. I'm not.
We'll try and be better. It's the Blitz live from Dave and Buster's on Richmond, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Dave and Buster's on Richmond, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back at Dave and Buster's. I have to lead this segment in because Adam won't let me do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day if we don't. So let's go ahead and get to that, John.
The Gym of the Day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
A man in Australia has pleaded guilty to removing the left testicle of a man who could not afford professional medical treatment. Alan George Matthews, who's 56, admitted to removing tissue from the man without consent or authority at a motel north of Sydney. Police said the 52-year-old victim posted an online ad requesting assistance with a medical issue. He'd been suffering for years after being kicked in the groin by a horse. Police became aware
I
of the
got
case.
Some reaction out here.
Yeah, police became aware of the case in June when the man attended hospital after the wound he suffered during the operation became infected. Officers raided Matthews' home and seized medical equipment, firearms, and four bottles of what they suspected to be amyl nitrate. Prosecutors alleged that Matthews was not authorized to perform such a procedure as he was not a qualified or registered medical practitioner. He also pleaded guilty in court this week to illegally possessing a gun and two counts of possessing or attempting to prescribe a restricted substance. I wish it would tell me what his day job is. Like, what does he do in life that makes him think he's qualified to cut someone's testicle
Maybe
off?
Maybe he's a line cook. Good knife
Maybe,
skills.
Or a butcher, perhaps?
Perhaps.
I don't know what...
Science teacher?
Maybe. You dissect a, if you can dissect a frog, you dissect a scrotum.
Right.
That's what they taught me in class.
So a request was put out for some assistance.
Yes.
To which this man responded, yes, and then performed it, but that's against the law?
Yeah. It seems to me like the guy who posted the Craigslist ad should be in some trouble, too.
Well, that's
like
what
if
I'm
you're searching for someone
with.
To cut your ball off and then he does it, he shouldn't have to go to jail.
Right. He asked for help. But then didn't consent to the help because the person who responded wasn't qualified? Is that
I guess
what
that's
I'm
the
led
case.
To believe? That is quite a gem.
Yeah.
Losing a gem.
Well, there you go. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Thank you for affording me that time, Adam.
Can we also afford the great people of Houston the ability to learn the great news about what's going on tomorrow in downtown Houston, where they play professional basketball, host concerts, other great events
Do
for
tell.
Fans of Houston?
Do tell.
They're hosting a Pokemon Go event meetup tomorrow over at Toyota Center, for those of you who engage in such things.
Really?
Around 11 in the a.m., I'm going to find some characters to capture. You can do so.
All right. Maybe I'll be there. Probably not, but maybe I will.
There could be some Hoffmans there.
Well.
Might not be named AJ.
Maybe
Annie and others.
We've not discussed what's going to happen August 17th through the 20th around the Hilton Houston Southwest in the Galleria area. There's a big event coming to Texas. It is the Texas with three X's Adult Expo. coming to Houston. We have a porn convention coming our way. Female porn stars Sherry DeVille, Olivia Austin, Dylan Harper, Brett Rossi, plus male star Mick Blue, and others will be on hand meeting fans and signing autographs. Rossi is likely best known to mainstream audiences as a former fiancé of actor Charlie Sheen. Stars from porn's past, which I like to call my generation of pornography,
legends,
Ron Jeremy and Nina Hartley, are also scheduled to appear. Kendra Sunderland, the former college student arrested last year for posting an explicit video of herself in the Oregon State University campus library, will also be in attendance.
That's something the university frowned on.
John Gray, who's the event organizer, told the Houston Chronicle on Wednesday that he's glad to bring back a convention of this kind to the area. He was the man behind Porn Utopia, which had a brief run in Houston starting in 2006 and also featured many adult actors and actresses from around the country. He got out of the adult industry in 2012 and only recently got back into publishing and promotion. Houston needs something like this, I think, and there is a market for it, Gray says. The industry has gone mainstream.
There is a market for it.
Yeah.
Yes, worldwide. Cities, states, countries, there's a market for it in all of them. Wherever I am, at any time, at any day.
As for the expo side of next month's event, one of the major sponsors is an adult toy outlet, Adam and Eve. They will have a strong presence, along with a handful of Houston area strip clubs. Butt naked clubs, as our my black listeners like to call it, the butt naked club.
All right.
The event was slated for late May at a convention center owned by the city of Dallas, but apparently a Dallas judge sided with the city to basically keep stuff like this outside of the city limits. They did not want the convention. They fought it, and a judge basically stood with it. So Dallas's loss, Houston's gain is the way I see it. So congratulations to, he says there's going to be no nudity, which I don't know how you have a porn convention with no nudity. That seems odd, but we'll see how it works. Tickets are $20 with local Adam and Eve stores offering slight discounts. So if you're into that sort of thing, you can get there. Must be 18 to enter.
Would not particularly surprising that it would land here or in any other major city.
We've been talking about you maybe taking over family vacation plans.
This is not a far trip.
This is a day trip. And
a day trip? I don't know about that. I mean, this doesn't, you said 18. I mean, that just takes us right out of the mix.
Fake IDs, bro.
No, I assure you, my 11-year-old is 18.
He's got Zika. That's why he's so small.
Wow. Zika.
That would pass. Yeah, I mentioned earlier when we were doing our headline game, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention collecting semen from hundreds of Zika-infested men to figure out how long the virus lingers in the body.
That's end justifies the means kind of stuff. We're trying to find out what all we can about Zika, trying to, you know, fix things.
What do you think your semen is worth if you have Zika?
If I only knew
per shot.
Well, I don't have a basis for it. I don't know what it's worth to the mainstream public going to Clinic X for the offer.
Yours currently probably $0 street value. Okay. I got to be honest with you.
Okay.
So
because it's just run of the mill.
Just regular old. I mean, honestly, you're a little bit short. People aren't looking.
They're
for
not
that.
Walking in there saying, "Okay, no, not that. No, not athletic. No, lower, lower." That I could. Is there any 5?
You
six?
Do have a good head of hair for your age. I mean, that's a plus. But the reality is, they're probably not looking for someone like yours. If you had Zika, however,
there's a clinic out there that wants
your value goes up to $50. You get a gift card for $50.
Gift card.
Yeah, that's what it's worth.
If you happen to
get Zika, it's not the end of the world.
There's a positive.
There is an upside. You get a $50 gift card to Target or something like that. And
yeah, performance required, though.
Yeah, but people are doing that anyway. You know, this is, you're just getting paid for it now.
Zika Olympics.
I can't wait for the first Zika baby to be born with that tiny head and normal body.
Well, obviously there are some who have been, you know, with previous cases that have been born, and they're obviously trying to study that and see what
I can't wait till they come of age and we see what they're really like. It's going to be so great. I hope that they don't, well, who knows? Maybe it'll be like Planet of the Apes and the Zika babies will eventually band together and outsmart humans.
I don't think it's quite the epidemic level that it would require
yet.
For it.
Yet.
That's how they all start.
Now that people know they can get $50 a shot.
Oh, so
there's a bunch of people signing up to go to Rio.
Are you conspiracy theorying this? Like, they're not, they don't want it to study.
I'm telling you,
they want it to put it to use.
The government wants us to get Zika.
No.
Barack Obama wants you to have Zika.
This is very Dustin Hoffman, Donald Sutherland,
fact.
Morgan Freeman of you.
Fact. Obama and Clinton want it.
God.
They both want it. They want an army of Zika babies.
That army is not going to fare very well, I don't believe.
You think that now, but you see these, I've seen videos or movies where, you know, full-grown people go out into the jungle and tiny little cannibal people catch them and eat them. And they're so tiny, you would think there's no way these little tiny people would be able to hold me down and rip me apart and eat me. But sure enough, they do.
All toxic Avengers, I'm sure.
Maybe. I don't know how they became that way. I think they were just born into that. Either way, we'll be back. We're going to wrap up the Blitz live from Dave and Buster's on ESPN 97.5 next.
This is the Blitz.
The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. As the seasons change, you're going to want to entertain in your backyard, but you don't want your backyard to look, you know, like a junkyard. You want that thing looking nice. Maybe you got a fading pool deck, a grayed out patio, or an outdated driveway. Update that look with a carved stone overlay, because it's going to cost you a lot of money. It's going to be a hassle to tear everything out and start all over. Carved stone goes down over your existing surface and gives you the superior look of real stone for less. It's troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it looks amazing. It's cool to the touch, slip-resistant, and very durable, twice as strong as concrete. Allied stands behind carved stone with a 7-year warranty. They can help you on both residential and commercial projects. Allied can help you figure out how to hang on to your hard-earned cash, too. Several monthly payment options. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. There's no wonder why many people have great things to say about Allied Outdoor Solutions, including being the 2015 Angie's List Super Service Award winner. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Check out their showroom, Beltway and I-10. You're going to be amazed at what they can do with your backyard. Or check out the carved stone project's photo gallery online at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or call them for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400. That's 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Dave and Buster's on Richmond, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Drifting closer to the big poker activities going on over here at Dave and Buster's over on Richmond. Adam Wexler in today for Fred Fowler. And alongside A.J. Hoffman is always here on The Blitz. Appreciate everybody chiming in via Twitter and listening in throughout the afternoon. Off the beaten path, as expected here this week of sportsless activity. There will be sports. Should be fun for everybody when it comes back, as the remainder of the
what
baseball
do you know when
season.
It does, it's just baseball.
I knew that was coming as I was making my way towards the comments of the Astros being in Seattle and starting on the road after the All-Star break. Yeah, that's just baseball. Just wrapped up the others. We're about 2 weeks from training camps around the NFL opening up. Texas will get there at the end of the month. They'll start training camp as a full team on the 30th, that last Saturday in July.
What are your expectations?
For the upcoming season?
Yes.
I still think overall they have the best team in the division, but in the NFL it really only matters what happens at quarterback.
And do you think Andrew Luck will be last year's Andrew Luck or every other year's Andrew Luck?
I think he'll be much closer to every other year's, but I don't know that he's taking a step forward from his good season of 2014. He was good enough to win this division, clearly. I'm not sure he's back to that yet, and I still don't. I just don't believe in pretty much anything else they have.
I don't either.
I think they're better on the line. I think they've done some better things this year. This not being the offseason that they signed Andre Johnson and Frank Gore is a plus, because that was really unsmart of them the year before. But I think the other teams have also done good things, but they were all worse than the Texans last year. The Texans shouldn't be worse anywhere, unless their defense can't match what they did last year. They've made major personnel improvements, but again, until you see it on the field.
You think the Texans are better on the offensive line?
I think they can be.
Losing Brooks, I knew it was going to happen, and I think they did a good job replacing some of those interior guys. I still think they lack a lot of depth there. They're counting on Xavier Suofilo being a player, which he's never proven to be. They're counting on Duane Brown to be healthy, which I don't know if he will be. And not only that, Duane Brown peaked 2-3 years ago, 4 years ago maybe. I mean, we're getting a ways removed from his peak years. And then he has a major injury. I don't know what he'll be if he does come back to start the season. I just have a lot of questions about that unit.
Yeah, I think Bergstrom has to push Suofilo to be the starter. That will happen because Suofilo's had more than enough opportunities to win the job and has never done it. So he's not going to be given the job this year either. I think the signing of Allen is excellent, and I think Martin starts from day one. And
I think so, too.
I think as long as he gets it mentally, and I think he will, totally unconcerned about his physical capabilities to match what Ben Jones did at center. But I just think the rest of the offense makes their job a little bit easier. It was the other way around this past year. You know, Arian, where he was with his injuries and the other backs, the fact that they had no other wide receivers other than DeAndre and they had no tight ends, and their quarterback situation, I thought that made things very difficult on the offensive line.
They still have no tight ends.
They still have no tight ends, but each of the other areas has been upgraded. I think the receivers are in a good position to be very helpful this year and make plays, so it doesn't all have to come from other avenues. And Lamar Miller is a massive upgrade from a capability standpoint. He's capable of doing it all on his own. A meaningless handoff at the 22-yard line can be a 78-yard touchdown. Yeah, a flare, a 5-yard toss to him or a dump off out of the backfield can be a 30-yard play.
He's not an upgrade over healthy Arian Foster,
no.
But you haven't had a healthy Arian Foster in some time now. So, I mean, I think Osweiler will be better than what you've gotten at quarterback, you know, for the last year, I would assume. That he's going to be better, but that's still a big question mark too. I'm with you. I expect the receivers to be better this year. I don't know if the receivers they drafted, I don't even know if those guys start, honestly. It seems to me they want to push Jalen Strong, which makes sense. That guy was a high draft pick, which then makes me wonder, why did you draft two receivers so high when you've got a bunch of guys that look like they're locked into jobs already?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of time, and I think it's almost a virtual certainty they will not start. I don't even think their roles will be that large for the first couple of weeks, certainly as flat-out receivers. I think Braxton Miller, if he can figure out the offense fairly well, then I think there's ways they will get him on the field. He won't be strictly a wideout or even a slot guy. I think there's other places on the field they'll try to utilize him because of his unique skills and ability to do things with the football. I think Fuller's a little bit less flexible. He's going to be a deep threat, and he'll have his plays where he's on the field. But, yeah, their top three guys, if healthy, don't include any of their either of those rookies, because Shorts, Strong, and Hopkins should be their three wideout sets to start the season. Again, game three appears also a certainty to be Texans versus Garoppolo. At this point, I don't think a trip to the Supreme Court for Tom Brady is going to net him those games. I don't know that they'll even hear the case. I don't know that a stay will come, and we're very close to saying with some definitiveness, Tom Brady's going to miss the first four games of the season. Yeah. The Texans are at New England in week three, and that's their only road game of the first four.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it.
No doubt. All right, guys, you got a little bit of time to get out here to Dave & Buster's. They're going to shuffle up and deal at 7:15. Thanks to Dave & Buster's on Richmond for having us out. Good luck to everybody playing tonight. The top 25 will have a chance to come back next Thursday, and the winner of that tournament gets a 55-inch television and $500 cash money. that you can use for drugs or alcohol or to pay bills if you're a responsible dad. Adam Wexler, I thank you much for coming in and doing this today, sir. I always enjoy working with you. You're one of my favorite guys to have fill in. Appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule, my friend.
Always love coming in. It's a good time.
All right. To he who cannot be named, thank you as well. Jong, appreciate you. We will be back tomorrow. Stay sportsy, children's.
ESPN 97.5.